And our final scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 5, verses 1 through, and I'm going to go through 8. You can find this part starting on page 1752 of your pew Bibles. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I'm going to confess, I'm not loving my memory this morning, so I do have an outline in case I get lost. Strong faith requires actually doing something for that faith. Strong faith requires sacrifice. Strong faith requires struggle to maintain that faith. Strong faith requires risk. Strong faith does not come from just waking up and making sure you show up to church on Sunday morning, or maybe giving up a Saturday afternoon to give away hot dogs. Not that either one of those are bad, but that is not what makes strong faith. Strong faith comes from something challenging, something that you have to do that can refine and temper your faith into something stronger. Strong faith does not come from just showing up. Strong faith comes from having to sacrifice so you can show up. These early Christians, as they worshiped, death was always outside the door of their gatherings. Persecution followed them wherever they were. These early Christians were a threat to the state. These Roman Christians, this would have been completely contrary to what the Roman government would want. Persecution and death was always knocking at their door, waiting to stop their faith. And this struggle, this pain, these things these early Christians had to go through, it was a refining fire. It gave them perseverance. It gave them hope. It annealed them and made them strong. It tempered them. It honed them. It purified them. The struggle made their faith strong. There was a recurring conversation at seminary that we had about what a conversion experience does to your faith. A conversation about how much stronger your faith becomes when you have that conversion experience. The people who had this conversation were like me, cradle Presbyterians. Faith was always the default for me. I was baptized. I wasn't baptized Presbyterian. By the time I had an awareness of my life, we were attending a Presbyterian church. I was confirmed Presbyterian. Aside from a very short period of time where I walked away from the Presbyterian church, I have been Presbyterian since basically my awareness to now. and I have had people try to kick me out of this church. I am a cradle Presbyterian through and through, and the people I had these conversations with were cradle Presbyterians. One of them, pastor's kid, who became a pastor. Another pastor, good friend, great friend of mine, born Presbyterian, raised Presbyterian, went to a Presbyterian college. All of us were these cradle Presbyterians whose faith was always the default option. And then we looked at people who had grand conversion experiences. And one in particular, there was a classmate of ours who had this amazing conversion experience. Not an experience that I can, it's not my experience to share, especially not as a sermon illustration. But this experience refined his life. It reformed the path that he was on. It probably helped him survive that year. He didn't know if he would make it through the year without that conversion experience. It honed his faith. It strengthened his faith. It just made him, his doubt less because of that experience. Those of us who had default faith, we tried to rationalize it. We tried to say, well, we've had our faith longer, so we've gone down the track a little bit farther, and we can wrestle with things better. We have more mature faith. But at the end of the day, it was all just things to try to make us feel better because we lusted after that conversion experience, that honing fire, that thing, that sacrifice needed to be made, that change in our life that needed to be made to be Christians, instead of just being who we are and being default Christians. So I kind of have a bad metaphor time. I apologize. We were desiring ultramarathon faith, and it felt like we had hammock faith. An ultramarathon requires discipline and sacrifice. It requires giving of yourself. It requires, in some ways, damaging your body and doing all of these sacrificial things. And all of this training, the reward for all of this training is to go do an ultramarathon. Think about that for a second. Your reward is to go do an ultramarathon. Hammock faith. Hammock faith requires about half a second of balance to get into the hammock, and your reward is a nap. That's your reward. Now, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I don't love hammocks. I wrote the outline to the sermon in my hammock last night. But the hammock doesn't make me stronger. Sure, makes watching the TV fun, but it doesn't make me stronger. It doesn't deal with any of this. Doesn't make my hips line up any better. Hammock faith doesn't do anything. Feels good, but it doesn't do anything, and it doesn't improve you at all. Ultramarathon faith, that's the real stuff. That's the I had to sacrifice, I had to give myself up, I had to change who I am, and my reward is more work. But the ability to do that work and not die. Requires actual sacrifice. And I want to make sure that we understand, when I talk about sacrifice, I'm not talking about some sort of domesticated and sterile sacrifice. I'm not talking about the sacrifice of making sure that you get up on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about the sacrifice of doing your 10%. I'm not talking about that kind of sacrifice. I'm talking about the sort of sacrifice where you are putting yourself on the line to do this thing. You are giving up who you are. The morality that you are following is not a morality where you are worried. You're worried about your sexuality, you're worried about your fiscal responsibility, or you're worried about how you're seen. No, the morality we're talking about is giving up yourself for God and for each other. If you want to do a morality check, here's a morality check for you for a second. If you're wondering if you're actually following what you're supposed to be following, let's use Jesus' standard here. Are you living your life in a way that loves God fully? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And are you loving your neighbors as much as you desire and need to be loved? Is that what your life is doing? Or not? Like, that's the sort of morality we're talking about. We like to worship this idea of pious living where we look and act the same and we create these human standards of, are we doing good enough? But the standard we're supposed to be living to is the standard that Christ has set forth. That is the actual morality. That is the sacrifice that we are called to make. I found myself thinking about Paul's conversion experience. Paul's conversion experience where he is this man named Saul who's rich, who's powerful. He is a Roman citizen with all the rights and privileges that come from being a Roman citizen and also a Jew who is climbing the ranks and climbing the ranks quicker than his peers. He has all of this power and authority and all of the trappings that come from all of that power and authority, and he's walking down the Damascus Road. And Jesus is like, ha, nope, not anymore. You're done. And he sacrifices all of it. He gives up all of his power. He gives up all of his wealth. He gives up all of his authority. Everything is gone. He dies poor at the hands of the state. He is a threat to the powers when he dies, a threat to the same powers that he was himself part of when he dies. He sacrificed everything, including his very self, to follow Jesus. That is the sort of sacrifice that we are talking about. That is the sort of sacrifice that God commands. What kind of faith do you want? Do you want the sort of faith where you have to risk something to worship? Or do you want the sort of faith where you get to lay in a hammock and rock back and forth and it just feels fantastic? Do you want the sort of faith where you have to stand up against the powers and say, no, this is wrong, and I will worship in a way that offends you because it says that your power is being abused? Or do you want the sort of faith where you can get offended when somebody says something other than Merry Christmas to you in December? Do you want the sword of faith that makes people in power tremble because the book that you have calls them to give up their power and authority and they want nothing of that? Or do you want the faith that is sterilized and domesticated in such a way that the powerful can can pick up this book. This book that is a story of a marginalized and oppressed people who follow a king that the state executed. And to follow that king made them marginalized by their marginalized brothers and sisters, oppressed by their oppressed brothers and sisters. They put themselves on the very bottom to follow this king. This book written for people on the bottom. Do you want your faith to actually be of that? Or the sort of book that somebody in power can take and say, you know what? This says that I should have more power because I'm a good person who follows this book. Do you want the sort of faith that people in power tremble about? The sort of faith that powers and riches fear the God that you follow? The sort of faith that you have to struggle for. Or do you want the faith of swaddling and rocking and naps? Do you want ultramarathon faith? Or do you want hammock faith with forced Merry Christmases?